Let us explore the Bible together on Glorious Morning Study Hour on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
So as we continue with our conversation, the single life, it's our Make It Practical segment. We want to see how viewing single life as a problem is a problem. We're stepping into some uncomfortable territory where the church often an unintentional role in making singles feel like projects to be fixed, right? Or missing pieces to be paired off, from sermons that idolize marriages to ministries that feel like they're only for traditional families. I mean, have you ever been to a family ministry's day? My. Yeah, ne? It was also. But anyway, you know, it's one of those things, right? And singles believers feel like they're second class citizens in their own spiritual homes. And on that day, they'd rather be somewhere else, worshiping elsewhere. We're asking the hard questions today. How did we get here? Is this the right way? Is it how it's supposed to be done? And how can our faith communities move from fixing singles, quote unquote, right? We want to fix them to actually just truly following Christ. The purpose here is to follow Jesus, guys, not to fix each other. Let's just walk as equals, vital members of the same body. The nails are needed as much as the hair is needed. And some organs come in 3s, 4s, and 5s, and many that can be not numbered like your hair, but others come in ones like your spleen, and it's still very much pelele injalo. You don't need a spare one or a partner for it. So let's have a chat about that. And Pastor will be helping us make sense of it. He joins us now on the line. Budiswabi, good morning to you, Pastor James.
Good morning. Morning. How are you, Brother Derek?
No, we're doing
How
all right.
Are you, listeners?
No, they hope. Thank you so much. They hope that they're good as well. Thank you for taking the time to share with us this morning. We want to just appreciate your coming through.
Thank you so much. I'm humbled as well to be invited and to be here yet again this morning.
Marvelous stuff. Marvelous.
Indeed.
But we are looking at this idea of singleness, and today we're getting a bit deeper. Why does the church community tend to have this mentality to try and fix singles, right? To treat them as though they are some sort of malfunction that they possess. You know, this whole spiritual maturity is when you get married. Talk to us. Isn't this a problem? Is this how it's supposed to be?
And very, very interesting today, because we're going to look at singleness and the context in which the church plays to, mm-hmm. you know, somehow demean the whole idea of singleness. First of all, we must admit and be honest about it. I'm a married man.
Yeah.
That sometimes as a church, we unintentionally treat marriage as the final stage of Christian growth.
Okay.
And yet the Bible does not equate spiritual maturity to marriage in any form. Actually, if we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, in a sense, Paul calls out singleness as a gift that comes from God. It's not really a non-existent phase in the whole realm of spirituality. It is actually a phase that is at equal par to marriage. And that's why, like yesterday, we agreed, or rather we discussed, that Christ himself was single. I love, there's a New Testament scholar by the name of Barry who says that marriage is one calling among others in the redeemed community. And when he says that, he actually implies that singleness, just like marriage is a calling, singleness is a calling. And the true measure of maturity is not marriage, but rather Christ-likeness. So we have this challenge as a church where we want to put, you know, those who are married, like they're spiritually mature because they've made this big decision. And partly it is streaming from the historical context of how marriage was uplifted. If you remember back in church history, there is a time when the Catholic Church is dominating, and the Catholic Church hinges towards celibacy, towards its priests,
yes,
and some
yes.
of its ministers, the nuns. And so the Protestant movement, as they were trying to, you know, build their theology away from Catholic theology, one of their theologies was to raise marriage on a pedestal that made singlehood appear to be a non-starter for a Christian who wants to develop spiritually. So it's from that background that has trickled down to these ripple effects that we have. But we must understand as a church community and rebrand the whole idea of singleness, because it is a phase that comes as a gift from God. Indeed.
No, thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. And I think an important case you're making there, because they are true. Sometimes there is a misconception that we possess, and especially as a church folk. But I want to just make, I mean, we're talking about practicality. That's what this segment is all centered about. And I want you to honestly tell me, apart from the theological rhetoric, and I apologize for that, but from the theological rhetoric you just gave us right now, practically, in your ministry, you're a pastor. You've ministered, you've seen churches, you've moved around and seen different platforms and different individuals across your territory and your district that you've been assigned to. How many have you seen who have received the gift of celibacy, the gift of singleness?
Well, there are very few, I would say, because it's very difficult to measure who has really accepted that gift as coming from God, because we feel, you see, when we deal with marriage, for instance, people who are quote unquote spiritual, who have stories as to how God revealed to them their marriage partner, how he performed a miracle, but no one ever discusses the miracle of how God revealed their singleness. Mm-hmm. We have passages in the Bible like the prophet Jeremiah, who is told not to marry, and that's gifted singleness. But no one comes out like that, because the frenzy in society is that everyone has got to marry. So it becomes very difficult.
Is it that though? Or it's like what Paul says, if you burn, the children are burning, and it's human nature to burn. I mean, God put in us the desire for socialness, right? We need to be with partners, right? And the anomaly is actually the one who doesn't have that. That's the rare one. That's the one in a chance, in a certain... Yes, we've got, I mean, our statistics yesterday said about 50% of adults are singles. But even those adults are looking for, because they are burning.
And
I remember in the olden days, you spoke about the olden days, where if you're going to be ministering, before long, they would advise you get a partner, because they'll know that if a young Pastor James goes around ministering and the young girls are looking at him, he's going to chow the flock.
True.
Yeah.
So, exactly. This is why we might enter into the dynamics of understanding how being gifted is, because when you're gifted with something, it doesn't nullify your humanity as you're carrying out that gift. And this is why I want you to notice Paul's words. He's very particular when he says, if you feel you cannot control yourself, you get that, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you feel there's this burning desire, then go ahead and marry. Okay. But the fact that he adds a condition to it entails that, though not the majority, there are some that can be content with singleness. It doesn't take away their natural feelings. It doesn't take away those emotions, but they can be content. Let me give you a good example. One of the things I've been privileged with is to work among its youths, because I work at a university.
Okay.
I have interacted with youths, and you discover that 90% of students are having the age of wanting to be in a relationship, but there's always that one or two who are just focused on their school, focused on church, and they do not have interest in ladies. They do have feelings, but it is just not their primary goal at the moment to engage in relationships and whatsoever. But the problem is, in an environment like that, everyone is going to look down on this single individual because of their apparent distinctiveness from the majority and think they have a problem. And we've pushed the narrative to say, if someone doesn't advance in that manner, which is common by everyone, and that is being in a relationship, then it's probably because they have a physical ailment they are trying to hide, which might be exposed if they're in a relationship. So the challenge is, like I said, there is this social construct built around the whole idea of relationships and marriage that puts singleness on a pedestal, that it is not a phase you want to be in for the rest of your life. We are honest to say you can be single, but it should be for a certain period of time. There is no way you can continue to be single after 40. and after 50 and all these things. So if we are accepting that singleness is a gift, as Paul puts it, that there is a possibility there are people that may have emotions but may not really be controlled by them to the point where they want to engage with a person. And those are unique individuals, just like any person who is gifted is a unique individual. A gift, I believe, comes with a cross.
The
cross, the burden that singleness comes with is that you will have to deal with your natural human emotions even as you're pursuing your singleness. This is Jeremiah's situation. Jeremiah doesn't you know, say to himself, I will choose to be single and I don't want to marry. It's evident in the scriptures that he wanted to marry. But because God says, your purpose can only be fulfilled in this condition of singleness, you will have to manage your humanity as you are pursuing your purpose while it's being single. What is important from a Christian perspective is that God pledges to assist us in our struggles. Because with every gift, we carry it out by the grace of God. So yes, it is not a common thing, but then we cannot qualify it as unnatural if there is a person who tries to go in that manner.
But
because
why not?
It doesn't mean that they do not have feelings.
you're making the case, actually, Pastor, to say is therefore not a misnomer when we have 90% of the sermons, quote unquote, like we are trying to present today, to say idolize marriage, because that's what the society is being reflected as. 90% of the people want to get married and should be getting married. Now to treat it as though it's a 50-50 chance, it would be a bit unfair and unreasonable, because like you're saying, even the ones who are then called personally wanted to.
Yeah, true. So if you get me clearly, I'm not putting it at a 50-50%, but accepting that there are unique individuals who've been called in that respect. The majority is married, right? And that's the natural order. Let me put it that way, first of all. That's the natural order. Not saying that singleness is not natural, because if singleness was not natural, then we would be in a relationship throughout. So as we are discussing here, probably there are things that we may need to dissect.
Clarifying.
Well.
Okay.
There is singleness in the context of it being a phase as you're preparing for marriage.
Okay.
And then there is singleness that comes or attributed to the fact that you were once married, like we mentioned yesterday. Now you're a widow and there is no, your spouse is no longer there, and you have to deal with the rest of your life probably as a single person. Some get to remarry, but some get to be like that. And then there are those who are single and have chosen to be so throughout their life and are not intending at any point to marry.
Yeah.
For many reasons, right? So these are the ones I'm trying to address. These who are saying, well, I have looked at my life purpose. I have looked at how God has chosen me to live. And I feel because of this, I will choose to live a single life in order for me to accomplish my purpose. Now, my argument is this.
Yeah.
If there is an individual like this, that individual cannot come out and claim that they do not have human emotions that might get them attracted to a person. They've just chosen that this aspect of my life, this singleness I have chosen and I've been gifted to experience is the means by which my mission will be accomplished. So I would rather uphold my mission than subject myself to a relationship that might affect my mission. This is Paul's argument even in 1 Corinthians when he says, though if you choose to marry, you must understand that marriage is going to come with burdens,
challenges
that might affect 50% of your mission compared to how you might have carried it out if you were not married. Because now you have devotion to another person, to your wife, to your children in the process. If you're a minister like me, the way I would be effectively ministering in my singleness is different from the way I would be effectively ministering when I'm married. Not that the impact is going to be reduced, but probably the scale of my ministering is different. If I am single, there are calls I can take to go to places that may not be appropriate for me to take if I'm married, or may not be, maybe appropriate couldn't be the right term. I may not accept if I am a married person, because now I'll have to sit down with my wife and say, how are we looking at this? How about the children, the kids, and all these aspects? So a person who is single in that context will say, my purpose and my mission is more important, and I will accept the gift of singleness so that I can accomplish my mission.
But Muruti, you know that you are talking to a group that we are not talking to, though. I acknowledge there's a group that you're trying to address, which has called itself for God, but the majority of the people we are referring to as single today are not that group. And we acknowledge there is a group, but the majority.
Yeah.
And that's my question, though, to say, what should be the encouragement when a pastor such as yourself stands up in front of a congregation and presents a sermon on Family Day? Is it to encourage the young people to get married, or to encourage people to just be okay where they are? When you know that 90% of the young people, if they are going to be left to their vices, will be detrimental to the rest of the community. Would you encourage such an one to rather get married, or to say, no, guys, just be okay where you are and lift up Christ?
I get your point. So I think from the different groups I mentioned, the one we're talking of is the majority of the youths. Let's be on that point.
Yeah.
Majority of the young people who are single yet with the mind that they should be in a relationship or they should get married at a certain point. Here is a challenge with the youth peer pressure. And that is, we are not bashing the idea of people wanting to marry, okay? My message has always been, even when I'm talking to young people, I do encourage them to be in relationships if they've felt that they are responsible enough to carry out those relationships. But the primary thing is, one must be able to develop. The phase of singleness for me is to develop your individuality, to prepare you, if you are taking the route of marriage, which, like we've said, 90% of the people take, to prepare you for that phase. Not that you are deficient when you are single. You are not deficient. Marriage does not come to, you know, like complete you. You need to be complete in your phase of singleness. You need to have your purpose well defined. You need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ while in that place. You need to have been able to manage your feelings. Because here's the thing. Marriage and even relationships do not take away sexual vices. Managing your emotions while single is what projects the correct trajectory of how you deal with your sexual vices even in marriage.
Yeah.
You are single and you are unable to control your emotions, because there are people who are single, but yet I've had someone tell me there is what is known as sneaky links. I think the Gen Z guys will understand that, right?
Okay.
Sneaky links. These are people who've chosen not to be in relationships. I meet up with a girl. I don't know much about her. We exchange contacts, and our relationship is simply built on this. When I need sex from you, I'm going to call you, arrange a place, we meet, we do our thing. Yeah. After that, no conversations whatsoever, no hi, how are you, nothing.
Yeah.
It ends there. So this is a person who is single, but they are still engaging. Mm. So it's a person with this kind of a lifestyle cannot claim that marriage will change them or relationships will change them. They'll still be that way.
Yeah.
So the message we must drive as a church, even when we do the family life, programs, and we separate and we say, okay, the singles, we're trying to address them. We must take them to the point where they mature in their singleness. They mature emotionally. They mature spiritually. They mature, because that's what prepares them for marriage. And that is what makes them even become content. Peradventure, they don't get to be in a relationship. Peradventure, they don't get to be married. There will be people who will not be whining because of their emotions. They would have controlled and managed them so well that they are comfortable living life single while it's been prepared for marriage.
Yeah, that's a mouthful.
I don't know if that tries to address something about what you mean.
Extremely, extremely, Samuruti. And I think that's quite important, because sometimes we think marriage is to cure burning. If you're not able to cure and handle yourself, because I think that's one of the fruit of the spirit, right? Self-discipline And if you're saying, I can't control myself, exactly, therefore I need to get married, you will still be uncontrolled in your marriage and exactly, uncontrollable, and you definitely become a problem that we have to deal with and call the deacons every day. But yeah, thank you so much, Pastor James. May God bless you. Appreciating your content and your conversation for us for this morning.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Blessed day.
Whew, okay, what a mouthful there from our pastor, right? What's your take? Good to you, Anjum. You can't say let's encourage marriage to the young people. Let them be themselves and be content in who they are and who God expects them to be, and focus on serving the Lord, not just encourage them. Get married when I get married. Huh? What's that?
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.